Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey there, Tech Stuff listeners. This is Jonathan Strickland, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something cool going on at How Stuff Works right now. I know all of you guys are really creative, and you love technology. Well, now you can show us what you're made of, because Toyota is sponsoring a new photo upload widget over at HowStuffWorks.com. You can share your gadget ideas, modifications, hacks, some great tech ideas. Show us what you're made of. Let us know how creative you are. You can go to howstuffworks.com/upgradeyourtech and upload those photos now. We want to see what you got.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from howstuffworks.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as is typically the case, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there. So, Chris.
Yes, Jonathan.
You know how to read, I'm assuming.
Who told you?
I was about to say, otherwise your editing job has been a complete sham, which also would explain the quality of my articles that go up on the site.
I just delete, every once in a while I'll go in and delete random right? letters and stick other letters in there.
I just look for red squigglies in the file, and if I see any red squigglies, I just go ahead and right click and choose the first option to correct it.
There are far too few Q's in this article.
So
poor little Q.
That was my attempt at introducing our topic today, which failed miserably. But today we wanted to talk about the recently, as of the recording of this podcast, or the recently announced new suite of Amazon Kindle gadgets. Amazon had a big event in early September 2012.
The day before we were recording this, actually.
Yeah, the day before we recorded this, they had their event and they announced the new line of Kindles and Kindle Fires. I was actually quite sad that they didn't, because there are now different versions of the Kindle Fire beyond, you know, Wi-Fi only and 3G versus that sort of stuff. Now we have two different sizes of Kindles, right?
Yes.
Kindle Fires. So I'm kind of sad that they didn't go out and try and differentiate the names a little more with, like, the Kindle conflagration or the Kindle burning sensation. That I think those would have really helped out a lot, but sadly that's not the case.
Yeah, I actually was reading one of the live blogs of the event as it was about to start, and somebody had suggested one of the I think it was on CNET's forum had suggested that they go with other alchemical elements, you know, like the Kindle water and Kindle earth. Well, that would be interesting.
Right. Yes. Alchemy.
Smoldering.
So they did launch, or at least they announced the launch of several new lines in the whole Kindle family of gadgets. And of course, if you're not familiar, the original Kindle was an e-reader with e-ink. E-ink is this kind of cool stuff that has a charge on it. When you apply a magnetic field, you can have either a blank side presented toward a screen or a dark side, not the character from Superman, but a dark side presented toward the screen. And so if you think of it, like each individual tiny element of this e-ink is like a little sphere.
Yes.
Right? And one half of the sphere is that sort of light gray, and the other half of the sphere is black. And by applying the magnetic field across the bottom of this display, you can choose which side gets presented to the viewer, and that's what creates the images we see. So it looks like paper. It's not a backlit screen like an LCD screen. You're not having that kind of approach, so that's why it looks more like words printed on a page, and you actually need an external light to be able to read it up till now.
Well, that's one of the reasons the e-ink Kindles, and the e-ink is a company up in Massachusetts, they were the ones who really got into this this stratagem of trying to do the ink like this. One of the reasons it's so efficient, and the e-ink readers made by multiple companies, not just Amazon, is because all that needs to happen as far as an electrical charge is reversing or charging the substrates of material inside the screen. So once that's done, it can stay that way without needing constant electrical charge like a tablet computer would.
Right. It doesn't have to maintain power to the screen in order to keep it at whatever you last put it at. So when you turn a page, then it uses up power. It says, all right, well, I've got to turn this page. I've got to change the orientation of these individual elements, these individual points, the e-ink itself. But once that's done, everything's cool, which is why e-readers in general, not just the Amazon line, but e-readers in general tend to have incredible battery life when you compare it against tablets, because they're not consuming so much power. Now, if you turn the Wi-Fi on so that you can browse the web or order new books or whatever, that can drain the battery a little faster. So most of the time when you see like the estimated length of time you can use a Kindle before recharging, it almost always says with Wi-Fi turned off.
Now, those screens can't be backlit, which is both a good thing in a way and a bad thing in a way. You don't have – it offers very good resolution, this type of screen, but it doesn't allow for that illumination, which is why if you had – let's say a first or second generation Kindle, you would still, and you wanted to read in the dark, you would still need some kind of light to shine on that.
A lamp or a book light,
So, that's sort of where we're coming from.
Right, but now Amazon's introduced a new entry into this line of products called Paperwhite, which I first thought was supposed to be Paperweight, but that perhaps they got Eliza Doolittle to make the announcement. Paperwhite. I want is a Paperwhite somewhere. Anyway, Paperwhite is the new Kindle. And although a lot of the older models are still also available on Amazon and have been marked down in price as a result of the new announcements. But Paperwhite has a light incorporated in it, although it's not a backlight, still not a backlight, which is good because one of the things that I like about e-readers is that because you don't have this backlit screen, it feels easier on my eyes.
Yes.
Than reading something that's on a screen. So what they have done is they've created a fiber optic cable, essentially, except that they've managed to make it a flat screen. They're using fiber optic technology, but they've created a flattened screen. The fiber optics guide light down onto the screen. So the light's actually coming from above the screen onto the Kindle and being reflected back so that you're seeing a reflection of that light, not a backlit screen.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the demo of this on some video that I think I saw it on The Verge, maybe, I was really impressed. Plus, I thought, wow, this is really cool. I just got a Kindle last year, and I'm already thinking maybe I'll upgrade.
Well, I actually have been using something with a similar technology for, you know, traditional paper books, the Light Wedge, which uses LEDs. But it's basically a wedge-shaped piece of clear plastic. I think I'm guessing it's probably Lexan. And it's got LEDs mounted at the side. And so you lay it across the page of your book, and it illuminates the entire page without shining directly onto the page. And I find it very nice to read by. This message not sponsored by Lightwedge. I actually went out and bought one.
Yeah.
They're not paying me, but I imagine that the effect is very similar when you're looking at the Kindle Paperwhite, because it does, like I said, a very similar thing. Although it's using a different way to achieve that effect, it is very pleasant. It's not a bright light shining in your eyes, and that's going to make it easier to read. Of course, now Barnes & Noble has a similar type of device for its Nook line of e-readers, mm-hmm. but I don't believe it uses the same technology as the Paperwhite, and as a result, it's thinner. And in comparisons that I've read, early comparisons, they said that the Paperwhite is a thinner machine, and it's not as obvious where the light is coming from because it is – using the fiber optics and allows Amazon to keep it more, unobtrusive, let's say.
Yeah. And it's also increased the resolution of the screen. The screen's going to be even more crisp than the previous Kindle models are. That it displays at 212 pixels per inch.
Yes.
That's the equivalent thereof. And that's much better than earlier generations of the Kindle. I mean, the other ones are, 170 or fewer. So it's going to have a nice crisp look to it. It's also got a capacitive touchscreen. So instead of you using some buttons on the bottom to navigate the device, you're actually going to be using touches. And of course, capacitive touchscreen for those just quick roundup here. Essentially, it's applying a very weak electrical charge across the screen. When you touch the screen, that effectively it interrupts that electrical charge. You conduct electricity too. So when you touch it, there's the device can figure out, oh, hey, there's an interruption in the electrical field. It's coming from here. That means that they want to execute this command because that's what is connected to that part of the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very, very, very bird's eye view of how capacitive touchscreens work, but that's generally how they work. That's also why when you are wearing something like gloves, you aren't interrupting the electric field. It's not conductive. So therefore, that's why you can't necessarily navigate a smartphone or tablet while wearing gloves unless it happens to be those special gloves with the conductive fingertips.
Yes. Yes, we know those exist.
Or you're using a hot dog.
Oh.
There are people who've done it.
Yeah, I know.
It's got 2 gigabytes of storage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's multi-touch as well, not just a touch screen, but multi-touch. Was there anything – there's something specific I want to talk about with the Paperwhite, but I want to see if there's anything else you wanted to.
Well, I did want to mention that the simple readers, let's say, not the tablet-style Kindles,
right.
The Fire line, mm-hmm. there were four entries before yesterday's announcement officially, the regular Kindle, the Keyboard 3G, and the DX, in addition to the Kindle Touch. The Paperwhite basically replaces the Kindle Touch,
right,
in that line. And the other three are still available. Those are things that the keyboard on the DX, which is the, if you will, the magazine size,
right,
the larger 9.7-inch, it's more comparable to an iPad in size.
Mm-hmm.
And the keyboard on the 6-inch screen, keyboard 3G, people are complaining that the Paperwhite doesn't have the keyboard. People like the physical keyboard on it.
Well, you know me, I'm a physical keyboard kind of guy.
You are that kind of guy. Also, it has no audio.
Right. Yeah.
On the Paperwhite.
So you're not going to be listening to Audible, books from Audible or anywhere else for that matter. Mm-hmm.
No podcasts on this.
However, it does include their WhisperSync technology.
Really?
Which we'll get into a little bit. That really plays more in with the Kindle Fire line, but we'll talk about WhisperSync when we get to that. The thing I wanted to mention was their time to read feature.
Oh, okay.
Did you read about this?
No, I don't think I did. Actually.
So time to read, what it does is it actually times how long it takes you to read.
Oh yes,
a page.
Yes, I did. I do like that.
I don't. Because I don't want to learn how slow a reader I am. There's gonna be some sort of nerd bragging rights going on, like, oh, it took you, 20 minutes to read that chapter. I read it in 17. You slow reader.
Well, everything's relative. You know, when you put down your book and go to make a sandwich or something
well,
like that.
The whole purpose of this, well, not the whole purpose, but one of the things that the time to read feature allows you to do is, the what happens is the Kindle, it just times how long it takes you to read various pages, and after a while it kind of builds up an estimate of what your reading speed is. So let's say that it's late at night and you are on the second book of the Game of Thrones series. I can't think of anyone that this would apply to besides myself. But you sit there and you've just read an awesome Sansa chapter. And then the next chapter is a Bran chapter. And you love Bran, but it's late. And you're wondering how long it's going to take you to read this chapter. The time to read feature would give an estimate of how long it would take you based upon your average reading speed to get through that next chapter. Because it'll look at the beginning and end points of that chapter, how many pages that is, and give you that estimate. So you could say, it's only going to take me another 15 minutes to read this. That's no big deal. I'm just podcasting tomorrow. What do I care if I'm a little extra tired? And so then you go ahead and you read about it, and Bran is awesome.
Yeah.
This can apply to books other than the Game of Thrones series.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for George R.R. Martin to make him a baker by the end of the series so that we can have Bran muffins.
Nice.
Anyhow,
waiting all that time to say that, and
not all that time.
Before we move on, we should also say that they did release prices for these devices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the Paperwhite comes in. Technically, it's four different models. There are two that are Wi-Fi only, and two that are 3G. The Wi-Fi only is $119 if you do the one that has these special offers. Selection.
Yeah, basically you get a cheaper device in exchange for them showing you advertising.
Right. It's an ad-supported device.
Mm-hmm.
So you get ads when the device is in its off mode, and occasionally you get it when you are navigating through stuff, not in the middle of a book. Or at least as far as I know, they have never done that where your actual reading experience is interrupted with an ad. I've never had that happen.
Meanwhile, back at the castle, hey, have you ever had a problem?
Right. But yeah, exactly. Like dragons getting you down? Call Bob's Extermination Service.
Shouldn't that be George's?
It could be. Wi-Fi only with the ads is $119. But if you wanted to get it where it was not ad supported, where you have no ads,
mm-hmm.
It's $139, so it's $20 more. The 3G model is a little more expensive. Now 3G, you get free 3G service with this. So that way when you have your device out in the wild somewhere and you're not connected to Wi-Fi and you want to get that next book or you want to browse a blog or whatever, you can access the network through a 3G connection, and you don't have a contract. You don't have to pay for it.
Right.
But that's at $179 with special offers and $199 without special offers, which to me is very interesting considering the base price of the new Kindle Fire. Because, you know, again, this is the e-reader. The Paperwhite's the e-reader. So you can do some browsing with it, but it's very limited compared to a tablet. And it's, of course, using an e-ink screen. So you've got a black and white screen, and it's not as responsive. They've increased the speed of which the Kindle is able to present pages to you.
Yes.
But it's not as responsive as a tablet screen, an LCD screen. So I guess with that, we can move on to the new versions of the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. The Amazon's press conference refreshed only a small portion of the regular Kindle line, just the replacing the touch with the Paperwhite and leaving most of the other Kindles alone. Well, they did keep the basic Kindle just at the lower price, but the Kindle Fire line, they added a couple new... Well, 2.5 new devices entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. First, I guess we'll start with the Kindle Fire that's more – it's in the line of the 7-inch tablets, the smaller one.
Yeah, and I think in a way it really kind of set the standard for the 7-inch tablet because so many other devices – and they kind of touched on this in the press conference that Android tablets, there really wasn't one that found a foothold. Like – for example, every once in a while, an Android phone will, you know, one model of phone will really take off. Like Samsung's Galaxy S3 is huge, right around the time we're recording this. But the Kindle Fire has the lion's share of Android tablets, and it set the I think it sort of set the screen size at 7 inches for the popular Android tablets now.
Right. But they decided to update this model, and there are two different versions of this. There's the 16 gigabyte version and the 32 gigabyte version. 16 is going to be at $199, and the 32 is at $249. So what's interesting to me is that the 16 gigabyte version is $199, which is the same as if you're getting a 3G Paperwhite, unsupported by ads. That's also $199. So you've got an e-reader, which some people would say is a very limited device compared to a tablet, where you can also do reading on the tablet. It's just it's not the e-ink display. You've got the e-reader and the at its highest setting, I guess, and the Kindle Fire at its lowest, priced the same, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, if you are presented with that choice, which one are you more likely to choose? The tablet that does all the stuff or the e-reader that does one thing but does it really, really well?
Yeah, and I think there is a contingent of Kindle fans who are going to be just fine with the Paperwhite at that price point because they're going to want the illuminated screen and the higher resolution, and they're not going to care about all the stuff that the tablet does.
I agree. I mean, you know, as much as I express skepticism, I own both a Kindle and a tablet.
Yes.
So, and I do all my reading on the Kindle. I don't read on the tablet. I just stare at the web and say, "Talk to me."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I'll read websites, but I don't read books or magazines on the tablet. So the Kindle Fire HD, this 7-inch tablet, it's got a dual-core Texas Instruments processor in it that's 1.2 gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little less powerful than the one that's on the larger tablet. And it's got a 1280 by 800 screen resolution. So that's just the basic specs update to that Kindle. The other interesting line of products that Amazon introduced was a slightly larger tablet, which is an 8.9-inch screen as opposed to the 7-inch screen.
Yeah, and they cleverly named that the Kindle Fire HD 8.9 inches.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets even more crazy when you get to their top-of-the-line product. The 8.9-inch screen really means that this particular tablet is sort of going into competition against Apple's iPad.
Yes.
Whereas the 7-inch screen is more in line with some of the smaller tablets on the market, like the Nexus 7 from Google or the Nook
The Nook tablet, yeah.
The Nook tablet from Barnes & Noble. So, but this one looks like it's really taking aim at the iPad, which they called in their press conference and in their information online, the iPad 3, although Apple just wants us to call it the new iPad. Which is going to be so confusing after next year. I hear rumors, by the way, that the new iPhone will be called the new iPhone.
Really?
And not the iPhone 5.
Interesting.
Wait, by the time this goes episode
live,
goes live, we'll know.
It,
we'll know because, yeah, the press conference for that is literally the next week from now when we're recording. So you guys are all rolling your eyes, but for us, it's still a mystery. Anyway, the 8.9-inch screen, it is a little more powerful. This device is more powerful than the other Kindle Fire.
Yeah.
It has a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core processor from Texas Instruments. And it's also got an SGX544 3D graphics core that can process over 12 billion floating point operations per second.
You're scaring me.
Yeah. It's got a gigabyte of RAM. It's got a 1920 by 1200 display. And it has 254 pixels per inch, which puts it in spitting distance of the iPad, which has 264 pixels per inch. Now that's their Retina screen, right? The iPad Retina screen has 264 pixels per inch. This new Kindle has 254. So it's really close. And they also were touting some of the stuff that they have that the iPad doesn't. For example, dual band antenna.
Mm-hmm.
I found this particularly interesting to me for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, the whole point of a dual band antenna is they have an antenna that's dedicated for the 2.4 gigahertz frequency and an antenna that's dedicated for the 5 gigahertz frequency.
Yes.
The idea being that should you go into an environment that has a Wi-Fi network and they have a router, a wireless router that's essentially broadcasting on both of these frequencies, you have the ability to switch from one to the other should one of those frequencies get jammed down with a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of devices out there that have a wireless antenna for that's for the 2.4 gigahertz frequency, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that means a lot of people, if you go to, say, a coffee shop, that's the great example. You go to a coffee shop, it's got free Wi-Fi. And everyone there's got a laptop and or a smartphone and or a tablet, and they're all connecting to this one network. Well, that's a lot of demand put on that one network, especially if they're all going for this one frequency, the 2.4 gigahertz frequency.
Right.
Now, if the network has both frequencies broadcast, then you can switch over to the 5 gigahertz, which has less traffic, which means theoretically you're going to get your data much faster than you would on the other antenna band.
Yeah.
I thought this was interesting because I always, whenever I read these things, I think of it in terms of my own experience. I don't leave the house much.
Yeah.
I avoid it when I can. So when I think of, when they were talking about, oh, it's got a dual band antenna, it's so much faster getting the data. What's going through my mind is, for me, the bottleneck has never been the device.
Yeah.
The bottleneck has always either been the cable modem or the router.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't matter how quickly the device can get data if it's not being delivered fast enough on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't even occur to me like, oh, well, what if you happen to be out and about with a whole bunch of other people? Then it totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I'm a hermit and I hate people, so I don't do that. Although it would have been very handy this past weekend at Dragon Con because all those smartphones and all those geeks' hands just clogged up every single network.
Yeah, yeah.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So there are one of the things that, well, we should probably talk about the other machine.
Oh, the LTE model?
Yes. Now, it was funny in the presentation because Amazon's founder and guy in charge, Jeff Bezos, was sort of funny about it. It was like, well, you know, the price point of a tablet this size is about $500.
Yeah. Referring specifically to the new iPad.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
The base model.
The base model of the new iPad.
And they said, well, what could we do if we were to design a tablet at that price point? What would it have in it? I mean, can you imagine the amazing, magical things we could include in this tablet for that price? We could put unicorns and Sasquatch and it could dispense candy. I mean, the way he was talking, it sounded like the only reason the iPad is that price is because Apple is – the implication is that Apple is greedy.
Yeah.
And that they're setting the price high so that they have this incredible profit margin when it comes to selling an iPad versus Amazon, which famously sells stuff off at a loss because – they're using it as a conduit to all the content they own. So thinking that if they sell you they talked about it. Their tablets are part of a service. They're not just a standalone device.
Yeah.
So when they're selling you a tablet, they're really selling you access to the Amazon service.
Right.
So, there's a little snark in that part of the presentation about how, well, if we had a $499 tablet, what could it possibly have in it? And so then he told us.
Yes. It's the LTE, which is long-term evolution. That's what the LTE stands for. It's one of the few really supported 4G communications technologies,
right.
Wireless communications technologies. And it's been very much in demand here in the United States from phone providers. People are excited about seeing the speeds, internet speeds, data speeds improving on their wireless carriers. So this is a huge deal. Well, a big deal.
Yeah.
I can't think of another tablet right now that supports 4G.
I'm sure there are others out there, and I'm sure our listeners are screaming at us right now. But
it won't be long before more of them do this.
Yeah, but it'll be standard.
They're coming to market underneath Apple's price point for this technology, and this is going to be a selling point for this particular device.
Yeah.
Now, what Jonathan was saying earlier was one of the main focuses of this event was. You know, hey, we're Amazon, we sell service. And that's what they were. They weren't shy about promoting this. Now, they didn't say, hey, we're selling these devices at a loss to make it up when you buy books from us.
They didn't say that explicitly. But, you know, based upon, you know, there are people who take these things apart and then they estimate what the price of manufacture is. And in almost every report I've read for the Amazon Kindle Past, it's one of those things where the price, the cost of manufacture and the price that they sell it at are so close as to be, you know, it pretty much means Amazon has to sell it at a loss.
Yeah, I think, what was it, the original Kindle Fire, when they first released it, they were making a profit of something like $2 or $3 on it.
And this isn't unusual. I mean, we've seen this also. Like,
oh, no.
Microsoft did this with the Xbox 360 and the Xbox.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sony did, too. The PlayStations.
And Nintendo as well. You're talking about, the console itself is priced a little lower than what it would be if you were just selling that to make a profit, but you're hoping to make up for it in whatever the services are down the road.
Yeah, it's the old Gillette model, as they say.
We should also say that if you were to get the LTE model, first of all, there are, again, four different models of this 8.9-inch display version.
Yeah.
Right? So there's the Wi-Fi models, which have a there's 16 gigabyte and 32 gigabyte versions. The 16 gigabyte's priced at $299, which is incredible, right? A 16 gigabyte Wi-Fi that's very attractive. 32 gigabytes at $369. Then if you go to the LTE, the 32 gigabyte, which is their base model for LTE, they said, oh, well, you know, you need to have a lot of space on this thing if you're going to have all this speed and everything.
Well, sure.
Which we'll get to again in a second because there's another problem here. But 32 gigabyte base model is at $499, and then they have a 64 gigabyte version at $599. So those are your four basic models. One of the other things about that LTE is that you have to pay $50 a year to get the LTE service. So that's on top of the price of the device.
It's not like the 3G service that's free.
Right. The 3G service on the Paperwhite, which is completely free, it's not like that. So you now it is provided through Amazon, but you have to pay Amazon $50 a year to have that service. So the base device costs $499 plus $50 per year so that you can get LTE. Here's the other thing that I think is a big sticking point. They have a data cap on the LTE data transfers of 250 megabytes. So that means you can't, in a month, you can't do more than 250 megabytes of transfer on LTE under this plan, which is kind of crazy because, I mean, even if you read Amazon's stuff about why they needed so much space, like the whole idea of here's a 32 gigabyte tablet. Why do you want 32 gigs? Well, because a standard definition movie is 500 megabytes. Well, standard definition movie is 500 megabytes and your data cap is 250 megabytes per month. You start to question, what are you using that LTE for? It would mostly be for things like browsing the web, doing social networking stuff like Facebook, Twitter, that kind of thing. Those are low demand data features, right? You're not churning up a lot of data, getting on Twitter and posting, "Hey, I got my new Amazon Kindle."
Yeah, if you were just downloading books from Amazon, just eBooks, that's not going to be
that much either. But if you wanted to download or stream a movie or whatever, and you're out and about and you don't have Wi-Fi, you're going to run up against that 250 megabyte cap pretty quickly. So to me, there's a question. If it's $500 to get the LTE model, the base LTE model, plus $50 on top of that to get the LTE service, and there's a 250 megabyte cap on that per month, is that really worth it, or should I just go with the 32 gigabyte Wi-Fi only model for $369? You know, I save about $150 that way, little less than that, but around $150. And let's call it 130. So you save 130 bucks, and you're not paying for this service, and you don't have to worry about data caps because you're only using it on Wi-Fi. Is the convenience factor of LTE worth it, considering that 250 megabyte cap? It's not to me.
Right.
That's my personal opinion. Now, for other people, they may say, I like the idea that I'd be able to get books. I like the idea I'd be able to do, you know, the social networking, the web browsing, all that kind of stuff. That's what's important to me. I totally get that. And that makes sense. And I have nothing against you guys. I'm just sitting there thinking, like, well, I mean, how much would I be irritated if I had to find a Wi-Fi hotspot? But on the flip side, I don't have to worry about data caps.
Yeah, and honestly, you have to think about this. I mean, it's not – it would probably be more of an issue if you were planning on, say, buying one of these to allow your kids to watch movies as you're driving across the country.
Right.
That would be an issue. If it's buying it for yourself to use, say, at home or take it with you to work, want you to watch something on your lunch break or take it to the park, you're probably not going to be using wireless as much as you would Wi-Fi, would guess. So it may be sort of a moot point depending on what you're doing with it.
Right.
So
right.
I think if it were me, I would be in the same boat. You know, I would say, well, you know, I'm frankly just not going to use this on the move that much because, you know, I've already been cited several times for trying to watch movies while I'm driving.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
They keep saying that, but I don't understand what the problem is.
The real problem, Chris,
it's just
is that
sheet metal.
It's because you like foreign films so much and the subtitles are very distracting.
You know, all those people with whiplash, I don't get. No, I'm teasing, but
yes.
But yeah, I mean, but it is an interesting selling point and it will be I'm kind of curious to see whether this becomes a thing. There are some other things to note about the Fire HDs, the stereo sound.
Yep.
With Dolby Audio.
Yeah, Dolby Audio dual stereo speakers. And I kind of wonder how effective that is.
Oh, well, just because they're really, really close together.
Yeah, that's exactly the reason. You've got two stereo speakers that are by necessity close together because they're inside a tablet device. How effective is that? Now, granted, we should both say neither of us have had our hands on any of these devices yet. So we can't speak from personal experience.
Yeah. However, I do imagine that you would have a more – depending on how you situate the tablet, I imagine you will have a more – robust audio experience with it.
They have
it's
some.
It's not just a crappy little one speaker device.
Right, right.
They put quality speakers.
It's not this little tinny thing that you know barely can get any music out or whatever.
But there are limitations to speakers at that size and that close together.
There's some other cool new features too that are more on the service side.
Yeah.
For instance, the X-ray.
That's
features.
Exactly the one I was going to mention.
Yeah. Now, X-ray, this is kind of a neat idea. The idea being that and this comes from the idea of having a second screen type thing. Like, how many people, when they watch television, for example, have a second screen in front of them so that, you know, they're either doing work or often they see something on the screen and they think, that's interesting. I want to know more about that. For me, it's always, I know this person. What else have they been in?
I've noticed this with my friends for years now. And actually, Google did a report about this. It came out just a few days ago when we're recording this about how people use multiple screens. And that's, you know, not just a tablet and the TV. It could be a smartphone and a computer, you know, multi-screens and working on multiple things at once. And even in recreational use, as you said, you're going, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Who is that? And you'll pause whatever it is and go look it up on the computer. And people just keep that nearby.
Yeah. And, so what Amazon has done is they've incorporated that as a service directly into the Kindle experience so that, let's say you're watching a movie and you tap the screen, it'll bring up information about the people who are in that movie. It'll bring up an IMDb page. And
Amazon owns IMDb,
right,
the Internet Movie Database.
So that lets you look up more info and learn more about it. But it's beyond just movies. They also do it for books. So you might click on a book and you learn more things about the chapter. You might even learn contextual stuff that is mentioned in the book.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
For example, let's say I'm reading The Devil in the White City, which is it's
Eric Larson.
Fantastic book. Highly recommended. I have no connection with the author whatsoever.
And but, I still haven't read it yet. So.
Fantastic book. Well, it has two lines of plot, essentially. Yeah. This is a nonfiction book.
Yes.
And it follows two different things that were happening around the same time. It follows the murderous exploits of Dr. H.H. Holmes, who was one of America's first serial killers. Terrible story, but also fascinating, especially for people who are interested in criminal psychology. And I think that Stuff You Should Know, I think, actually covered Holmes's death house in an episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Creepy.
But then it also follows the Chicago World's Fair, which was being put on around the same time as Holmes's deadly activities.
And we've mentioned that on our show before.
Right. And so these two different stories overlap a little bit, but it goes chapter, you know, each chapter kind of alternates. It goes from Holmes to the World's Fair to Holmes to the World's Fair. And if you were to read this, say, on a Kindle Fire and you had the X-ray stuff and it was all set up there, you might be able to be, you know, you could be reading a book about this and you read a paragraph about a particular person that, during the World's Fair who did some architectural work. And you're like, oh, that sounds interesting. I wonder more if there's any more about him. You could tap the screen and pull up information about that person or go to a link on an article about that person so you could learn more about them. And, of course, this applies to, you know, anything, not just that book. That's just using that as an example. But it also will give you information about the book itself. So, so not just information that's in the book, but about the book. So you can, if you're curious about certain things like what else has this author written, or, you know, what sort of, other books are like this one, you can find that kind of stuff out too. Which I thought was pretty interesting.
And they're also offering it for textbooks. Which is nice if you get really intrigued about something that you're working on in class, your student, and you're getting into something. You go, you know what? I'm curious about this. I'd like to know more.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really neat idea. I also like the whisper sync for voice.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like if you're reading a book, let's say you commute by rail, and you get to the station, you're about to get in your car, and you've gotten to an interesting point in the book where you can plug your Kindle into the sound system of your car and listen to the audiobook being read to you as you drive.
Yeah. So this is a little different from, you know, the earlier Kindles. A lot of them had the speech to the text to speech.
Mm-hmm.
But that was sort of it wasn't an ideal experience. Now, in this case, it's syncing a text-based version of the book with an audio version of the book that's been read by a professional narrator.
Yes.
So this is an actual voiceover person. Sometimes it's the author, depending upon the audible or the audio book. I keep saying audible because that's where I go for all my audio books. But if you know, it'll sync those together so that when you let off from one, let's say that you like Chris was saying, you just finished reading a section and you're really interested, you can cue up the audiobook and it's going to pick up right where you left off with the text version.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you can continue reading this book in two different forms and not interrupt your experience, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they also have Whisper Sync for movies, books, and games.
Yes.
Of course, they've had it for books for a long time. But yeah, I mean, if you change devices or even with the games, if you're in the middle of a level, it will pick up where you left off. And it says the Amazon site says even if you delete the game from your device and you decide you want to go back and do it again later, then you can reload it and then they will remember where you are. Of course, all this information is stored in the cloud, which is another selling point. This is another service selling point for Amazon. The 16 or 32 gigabyte Kindle Fires, they have that limited amount of onboard storage. I mean, that's a pretty decent amount. But they also, as they advertise, if you download music or movies from Amazon, they will allow you to store that. And it's basically free storage.
Yeah, store it in the cloud for free.
So that doesn't necessarily count against the amount. Of course, I guess if you take it with you and you don't have streaming service where you are, you know, you go to the beach and you're
right. You can choose
to watch a movie in bright sunlight and a color screen.
I've used these services on or very similar services on other devices, and the way it generally works is you can choose whether or not you want a certain track to be streaming only, or if you download it to a specific device so that it's available even when you are not in a networked area. But yeah, that's the idea: is that way you can store stuff in the cloud. Doesn't count against your devices on board storage.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also have a screen time thing for parents that,
yep.
as of right now, is not available, but will be shortly. So they say in October of 2012, where if you have kids who are going to be using it, you can set the amount of time that they are allowed to use it to prevent them from going over their time. So I guess that means they have multiple users for the tablet.
You can also set it so that, certain functions will be available longer than others. So in other words, you can set it so that watching a movie or television or playing a game on the device, the kid might have an hour worth of time or
right.
2 hours, whatever. But then if they want to use it for reading, they can use it for reading for another 4 hours.
Yeah.
But they can't use it to watch movies or whatever. So that's kind of interesting that they've got that sort of granular amount of control for parents.
Yeah.
So that they can shape their kids into the automatons that they need to be so they can lead us in the future.
But
I'm kidding, of course. I also don't have kids, so I can make very cavalier statements. What about immersion reading? What did you think of that?
I don't know a whole lot about immersion reading. I'm still catching up on some of these features.
It's pretty interesting. Immersion reading, it synchronizes an audio and text experience of a book so that you are hearing the book as you read it. So in other words, you have the text version of the book in front of you, and you also have the audio version playing at the same time. And the idea is that for certain people, and it's people from all different areas,
sure.
they retain information and learn and get more out of an experience if they are both reading it, like themselves, and listening to it at the same time.
Yeah.
That they have a more rich experience with that book. So there for, I think it's something like around 15,000 titles.
Yeah.
It's available right now. Where
That's
you
what
can,
Amazon says.
I thought that I had read that. I didn't have it in my notes, but I recalled that number being bandied about. But yeah, the idea being that you will read a book while it's being read out loud at the same time, which I can imagine particularly being useful for kids. Who are learning to read.
Yeah.
Now, if you get some books that are not as complex, something like The Hobbit, which was a book I loved as a kid.
Yeah.
Still do, technically. All right, so I still love it. But as a kid, I particularly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But that would have been an interesting thing where you could listen to the book as you're reading along. And like I said, for some people, this is apparently the ideal way to experience a book.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are a lot of new features that are being launched with this. Some of them are going to be compatible with the old Amazon Kindle Fire. Some are going to be available only on the new models,
mm-hmm.
Just because they're more, you know, they're more advanced. They have the specs to handle it. So we'll see how this does. I imagine that these are going to sell very well. Amazon always positions itself very well for the holiday market, and. They already are on pre-order. They went on pre-order the day when they announced it.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine, although Amazon also does not tend to release sales figures.
True.
So we probably won't know how well they'll do, but I'm sure that they'll do pretty well. So Chris, theoretically, let's say that you had the ability to buy any one of these devices. Which of them appeals to you most? Like you could only get one of them, but you could choose whichever one you wanted.
Well, I admit, I'm sort of torn, frankly,
yeah.
Because like you, I own a tablet, but I don't own an e-reader of any type. So I'm fascinated by the Paperwhite simply because, mm-hmm. I would kind of like to be able to have that reader experience. That said, I have enjoyed, over the past while that I've owned my tablet, enjoyed having it available to read books on and do other stuff too, and having one device that does it. So, I mean, if I had to choose one, if you were going to hold my feet to the fire, I would probably go with the 8.9 inch HD without 4G.
Okay.
Because I just simply don't need that connectivity on the go.
So clearly you go with a 32 gigabyte because you can have any of them.
Yes.
So you
yes.
could go with 32 gigabyte Wi-Fi only, 8.9 inch HD.
That is correct.
All right.
That's what I would do.
That's the correct answer.
Oh, okay.
For you. I would go with the Paperwhite. And the reason why I go with Paperwhite is I love my e-reader and I would love to be able to upgrade that because,
yeah.
I do like the idea of having the onboard light there so I can read
yeah.
in the dark and that kind of stuff. So I really just like the features of it. Although I am a little hesitant with the capacitance touchscreen as opposed to a physical keyboard. That does give me pause. But the reason why I shy away from the Kindle experience is that it's a bias. I fully admit it is a bias because the operating system for the Kindle Fire is a forked version of the Android operating system.
Yes.
They took an earlier build of the Android operating system as their foundation and then spun it off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really its own thing, but it, at its root, it has Android.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love the Android operating system, but I prefer to have a more inline operating system, like one that's aligned with Android more directly.
Yeah.
And it gives you a lot more flexibility with your device. That's one of the complaints some people had about the Kindle Fire is that it doesn't give you as much flexibility as some other tablets do. Now, granted, you can work away around that. You can hack a tablet and essentially jailbreak it so that you can use it in any way you like, loading on other operating systems, things like that. But for the average user, that tends to be outside their grasp. You know,
mm-hmm.
someone who just wants to buy something and just have it work. Well, if you love the Amazon's, the system, then this is a great fit. And I do love the Amazon system. It's just that all of my stuff lives in Google.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I love the Android operating system for my tablets.
Yeah.
That being said, I think these devices look really, really attractive, and their price points are phenomenal compared
yeah.
to some of the other stuff.
And I do think that's going to – well, there are rumors that in the event that you already know the outcome of, but we don't, that
right.
there may be an iPad mini announced alongside – the iPhone.
Which will make you wonder how much that's going to cost. Because the iPod Touch, if you go with the most advanced iPod Touch, that's more expensive than some of these tablets.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if Apple's going to be forced to start to lower the prices somewhat on tablets.
Yeah, I mean, it does make you wonder. They do really well in the App Store.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they make a lot of money through the App Store. So it's possible that they could take that route, but we don't know. Of course, you guys do know, so you can go nanny nanny boo boo at us. And if you would like to do that in an email, you can say nanny nanny boo boo in an email to techstuff@discovery.com, or say nanny nanny boo boo on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both of those is techstuffhsw. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
See, guys, I told you we'd talk to you again really soon. That really soon is right now. I'm just reminding you that we have our photo upload widget live on the site at www.howstuffworks.com/upgradeyourtech. Toyota's giving us the chance to let you share your creativity. So send us those pictures of your modifications, your tech ideas, those gadgets that you've created, all those hacks. If you're steampunking everything in sight, put on your goggles and show that to us. We can't wait to see them.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.